Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Esther is back there, and Toby's on the floor. So welcome to everybody jumping in right now. It is May 22nd, 2025. I am back from New Jersey. Praise the Lord. And welcome to everybody who's coming in right now. Everyone in the United States and around the world, we're so happy to have you with us tonight. I see people coming in from Tallahassee, Florida, Arkansas, Mesa, Arizona, Oregon, Michigan, Birmingham, Alabama. Let's see, Sun City West, Arizona. I'm looking. Petersburg, New Jersey. We were just in New Jersey. Bronx, New York, my hometown. Hello, hello to our friends in the Bronx, New York, North Carolina, West Virginia, the UK. Hello to our international audience coming in right now. We're so happy to have you with us. We love our international audience as well. And when they come in, I see those from Vermont as well, from Washington State, from Texas. God bless Texas, Pennsylvania, Florida, Alaska, beautiful Alaska. And let's see who else is coming in as well, just as we have people coming on. Canada as well, Oregon, Ohio, Cape Cod, Massachusetts, Maine, and welcome to everybody else coming in right now. And welcome to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So we have quite a bit to get into tonight, prophetically. And we're going to open up in prayer, but we're going to be dealing with this shooting that happened, having to do with the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., this precious young couple, and altars, and the altars in Washington, D.C., and how the kingdom of darkness uses altars and operates through altars. This is far greater than just it is terrorism. Don't get me wrong. It's a terrorist act, but it's far greater than that because it's being powered, I believe, by altars in the kingdom of darkness, and that it's trying to push something in and break a threshold here with what we saw happen. So we're going to open up in prayer, and then we are going to get into tonight. Also, at the end, we have a video to show you. We did a rescue last night at 1 a.m., in New Jersey. And so we're going to show you the video at the end as well. So stay tuned for that. And so we'll open up in prayer. And then we are going to get going tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name, Father God. Lord, you are holy. You are righteous, Father God. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you. We enter your gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We enter your courts with praise, Father. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us of every way we have sinned, Father, and fallen short in you, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We praise you, Lord, that your mercies are new every single day, Lord. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He willingly came to the earth to die as the Passover lamb, the Pesach lamb. He willingly went to Calvary. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And at Calvary, that blood dripped onto the mercy seat. It purchased us. It completed a transaction. We were bought. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he said, "It is finished," he made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. And he miraculously rose again in 3 days. He ascended back into heaven. He took his victorious rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our advocate without ceasing. And we honor that before you, Father, this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, into this place. Father, we welcome your presence in, Father, to have your way. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let your presence mightily move, Father. Let your power saturate the atmosphere as we mightily go forth, Father God. Be our front and rear guard tonight, Father, as we go forth in you. You are our shield, our glory, and the lifter of our head, Father God. Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would order our steps tonight. Order my words, Father, as we go forth. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Father, the humble privilege in our team of being vessels, Father, of your power. Lord, fill us as your vessels with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord, Father. We ask you send your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions in the name of Jesus Christ to surround and protect us as we go forth, the skies, the land above and below, Father God, to surround this property, Lord, as we go forth tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke and take authority over every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, manipulation, intimidation, bullying, threat, that the enemy, satanic agents, dark forces, unclean spirits, familiar spirits, agents of the enemy, willing vessels would attempt. Every bit of witchcraft that would be attempted. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command it broken, canceled, aborted, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and cast back, Father, to which it came from, Lord, to not return or have anything sent in its place, Father. Lord, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We're most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, let your name be glorified above all. We praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you who were jumping on. I know we're on a little later tonight. Our team was so great to come on later because I had to rush Sadie to the vet when we got home today because her nose was clogged and she was not breathing right. She was very sniffly. And some of our staff noticed it at the house. So Chris and I rushed her to the vet. She is fighting an upper respiratory infection. The doctor did give her fluids, gave her a 10-day shot of antibiotics, gave her nose drops as well to keep her nose clear. And basically, she is resting comfortably now. She's actually right out there, right out the door. There's a bed there. And so Sadie is resting. So please pray for Sadie. She's 16 years old. This is why we moved so quick when we saw this happening. But because with older cats, these things can snowball almost overnight. So please pray for Sadie. We praise her. We were able to get her to the vet. She was treated. And so I'm going to be keeping an eye on her tonight. And then our team will begin her regiment tomorrow. So this is why I'm on a little later tonight. So let me get up my notes. If you could share this broadcast, we would very much appreciate it because we are getting into what happened in Washington, D.C., and altars in Washington, D.C., also how altars are powered, why altars matter, what goes on with them in the kingdom of darkness as well. We have to understand these things as the body of Christ because Satan doesn't play fair. The kingdom of darkness doesn't play fair. And this is why we have to be sober-minded and vigilant when it comes to these things because we have to make sure that the knowledge of God is exalted above everything else. And so we're going to go deep tonight. We are going to get into what happened. We're going to get into altars. So thank you for sharing this tonight. We very much appreciate it. At the end, I'm going to show you the rescue video from 1 a.m. last night and what happened because it was pretty wild. The timing of God is impeccable. And he positions you in places in order for you to fulfill his purposes. And that's exactly what he does. So we'll get into that as well. So let's start right off the bat. We're going to pull up the ABC News article on this. There are multiple agencies reporting on this. It's not just ABC News. This is the one I happen to see. two Israeli embassy staffers killed in act of terror in Washington, D.C. And so basically, I'm going to read it to you. A 31-year-old Illinois man has been charged with the two counts of murder. Now, I'm going to show you something very strange right off the bat. The new pope came out of Illinois. The new American pope came out of Chicago, Illinois. And now a 31-year-old man from Illinois has been charged with two counts of murder after opening fire 21 times. Now, 21, I want you to think about this, is a number the occult uses. You know how I know? 21 to drink. 21 in blackjack. Drinking, gambling, that number is used a lot. He opened fire 21 times. That is not an accident. On a young couple exiting an event at Capitol Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. late Wednesday, according to a criminal complaint, shooting the victims in the back and then firing again at the woman as she tried to crawl away. The shooting has sparked outrage and has been condemned as an unspeakable act of anti-Semitism after officials said the suspect, who is in custody, shouted, "Free, free Palestine." Following the shooting, FBI Director Kash Patel called the attack an act of terror. And please pray for the family of Yaron and Sarah. This is a horrible, horrible thing that has happened. This was a young couple that was about to get engaged in Israel when this happened. And I'm going to tell you something. The mayor of D.C., their blood is on your hands because it is your policies that have allowed these people, that have allowed this wickedness to grow and to advance in your city. So the blood is on the hands of the DC mayor right now. The blood of this young couple, the innocent blood, is on the hands of the DC mayor, and God is going to require of her an accounting for this, because it is those policies and the breeding ground for allowing these satanic individuals to do what they do that have caused this. Don't make no mistake, the DC mayor has set up altars, and not to Almighty God, in Washington, D.C. So there's going to be an accounting for by Almighty God required of her for the innocent blood that was shed, first of all. Secondly, if we could put the article, oh no, we have to put it back up because I have it here. We don't have to put it back up. I want to read to you from June 27th, 2023, an excerpt from the Word of the Lord. It says, "Watch the embassies, says the Lord, in this hour, an attempt to distract. Pray for the embassies." And then he says, "The U.S. Embassy in Israel, pray for a security breach is at hand." And then he says, the Lord, "For a multi-city attack on the embassies has been planned in order to create smoke to hide the fire that stretches across the oceans to lands that do not know me." That's capital, says the Lord. That was from June 27th, 2023. This is just the first, I believe, of many lone wolf attacks that are really not lone wolves at all. The pack has just split up a little bit in order to do this. This is the first of a string of them. So we need to pray and we need to intercede. So, and I'm going to say this too. People have to stop some of this nonsense with Israel, and I will tell you why. It was in God's plan from the beginning for the Jews and the Pharisees to be the one yelled, "Crucify him." You know why? Because the Jews kept putting the Passover lamb on the altar. The Jews had to make the sacrifice of the lamb. This was a blueprint from the beginning that God had. So we have to understand it is all in God's plan through revelation for things to play out how they are. And if that is in God's plan, we have to stop nitpicking his plan apart. Let's put it that way, okay? Because God is sovereign and God has a plan here. This is why God made Abraham take Isaac and bind him and put him on the altar. I want you to take your son, Abraham, your one and only son. And I want you to put him on the altar. And I want you to sacrifice him to me. That was all the foreshadowing. This was all God allowing those he considered his friends to feel what he was going to feel. It was because when you're a friend of God, you partake in those things. He allows you to feel that. So there would be no need for Abraham to take his one and only son, Abraham, as the father of the Jewish nation, to take his one and only son and put him on an altar if it wasn't foreshadowing what would happen in the Gospels. If it wasn't foreshadowing that, we have to understand that God had a plan with that. And we also have to remember, if those never yelled, "Crucify him," we would still be separated from God. We would still be separated from him. So we have to take all of this into consideration when we look at these things. Because had they never done that, the sacrifice would have never been made. We would have never had the blood of Jesus atoning for our sins, and we would have been separated from God. We would have not had the relationship with him that we have today. So we have to consider all of these things when we look at this. It's like saying just because somebody's Italian, they're in the mob, which is not true. Yeah, are there some Italians who were probably in the mob? Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's other nationalities in the mob too. But it's like saying every Italian is this. You cannot peg everybody into the same hole. You cannot do that. If God did that with us, we'd all be going to hell in a handbasket. Let's just be honest here. So I wanted to say that as we start off here. So there are some prophetic things about this that we have to discuss, and then we're going to get into altars. So the suspect that did this is a 30-year-old man named Elias Rodriguez of Chicago. The new Pope just came out of Chicago, and now this person that did this to a young Jewish couple came out of Chicago. I'm telling you, watch Chicago and what happens to Chicago, because there's a reason this hotbed of activity is beginning to happen around it. So he was taken into custody by the Metro Police. Now, some insight about this. This happened within the window between Passover and Pentecost, a 50-day window. Judgment and fire. Judgment, deliverance, and fire happen within this window. The suspect, 30 years old. It was at 30 years old in Matthew 4 that Satan in the wilderness in a dry place came face to face with Jesus Christ and attempted to get him to fall. His name is Elias. His first name is Elias. Elias is a variant of Elijah, which means my God is Yahweh. This is how the enemy works. A man named Elias, whose name means my God is Yahweh, is used to kill a Jewish couple that actually serves Yahweh. This is how the enemy works, to send a message and to begin to establish what he wants to establish. Now, Yaron was the male victim, which means full of joy. His name actually means full of joy. It's symbolic. It's prophetic. This is a warning of the persecuting spirit that is bringing an outcry in this hour. It is doing it through different territories on the globe. You're seeing it through apartheid in South Africa. You're seeing it in the Middle East. You're seeing it through what's happening here in the United States of America now. You're seeing it through that spirit of Amalek. You're seeing it through Palestine. You're seeing this around the globe. And the man whose name means "My God is Yahweh" kills a man whose name means "full of joy." This is a warning of the enemy's plans to destroy the people of God and steal the joy from the nation. This is an announcement. We can't just see it as an isolated act of terror, because it's not. It's an announcement. This is how the enemy operates. These are announcements. And December 17th, 2024, there was a school shooting in Madison, Wisconsin. The school's name was Abundant Life. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. However, I, the Lord, have come to give you life and life more abundant. I had warned back then the enemy was setting his agenda for 2025, and it was the first part of John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That was the agenda to come in 2025 that the enemy was going to try to accomplish, after the fact that the cycle he attempted to keep intact was broken November of 2024. Also, Elias has the name Eli in it. Elias has the name Eli in it. Eli was the corrupt priest who had wicked sons that abused the people of God and offered strange sacrifices and did things illegally according to God's law as far as how they dealt with the people of God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires," he would then answer him, "No, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force. I'm going to take what's yours by force." This is what this Elias did. "I'm going to take what's yours by force." Verse 17, "Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Men began to despise the offering of the Lord, an offering to the Lord, because the sin of the young men was so great before the Lord, because they were taking by force, corruptly, what did not belong to them, because they were illegally stepping over into territory that wasn't theirs. And this is what this Elias did. And he's yelling, "Free Palestine." Your last name is Rodriguez, first of all. Secondly, he's yelling, "Free Palestine." Palestine means Philistine. The Romans gave that name to that territory to mock Israel. That people, the Palestinian people, is a mixed race that comes from the line of Esau, who married Canaanite women and Hittite women. So that's where that comes from. So you have a man yelling, "Free Palestine," or "Free Philistines," "Free the Philistines," in which Goliath came from that lineage, while he is gunning down a Jewish couple. And I'll say this, there has been an altar set up in Washington, D.C. There is more than one to attempt to establish a rageful, persecuting spirit. And altars need innocent blood to be powered. Altars need sacrifices to be powered. And this ancient spirit doing this with the help of certain leaders in Washington, D.C., This spirit had legal rights to influence this man whose name happened to mean my God is Yahweh in order to kill the people of Yahweh, because the enemy wants to mock God and the people of God. This is all about mocking God and mocking the people of God and shedding innocent blood to power high-level altars that are still operating in Washington, D.C. This is what this is. And this is what is happening. This is far more than an act of terror. This is about altars and powering them in order to try to open a gate in Washington, D.C. that will allow for a hostile takeover within these next 4 years. I'm not saying God's going to allow it. I'm saying this is what they're attempting to do. Now, we're going to go to 1 Kings 16:31 through 34 because we're going to see how altars work, because we have to understand this right now for the nation and what's happening, and for your own lives and what's happening, because the church has to change its thinking and change its mindset. I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow. The thinking and the mindset has to change in order for us to do what we need to do, because God needs the Caleb generation right now. He needs the generation that's willing to fight for it. The reason the Ark of the Covenant didn't get into the promised land immediately is because the generation that left Egypt did nothing but grumble, complain, challenge God, try to undermine the leader who God put in authority, which was Moses. And the Ark of the Covenant was kept out of the promised land for that reason, because God said that generation will not enter. And so God raised up the Caleb generation, the Joshua and the Caleb generation, to go in, who were willing to do what God asked, willing to fight at the level he required them, willing to believe at the level he required them, and willing to go into the land and do what God was requiring them to do. So the thinking of the church, the mindsets, our understanding has to change, and our understanding has to get deeper. So 1 Kings 16:31 through 34. It came about as if it had been a trivial thing for Ahab to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. He erected an altar for Baal to claim the territory, to power that altar. So in the spirit, that territorial spirit was getting power from that altar. Verse 33, Ahab also made the Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In those days, Hiel the Bethelite rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations with the loss of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, in accordance with the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Joshua, the son of Nun. Because Joshua set a prophetic cast. When Joshua destroyed Jericho, he spoke prophetically and put a prophetic cast over that area, that anyone who would attempt to rebuild Jericho, a city of demonic altars, a city of demonic sacrifice, would do it at the cost of their firstborn child and their youngest child. And that prophetic cast was put out by Joshua into that area. So Ahab provoked the Lord through altars and through sacrifice that was illegal, that was unwarranted, and that was blasphemous to God. So he does this, and he sets up these altars that were so strategic, it brought the entire nation into sin. This is why in the time we are in, this season of excavation, pruning, and bringing down what is powering these altars in this nation and in Israel and in the church. This is the season that we are in. And after such happened, and Ahab does this, and Ahab and Jezebel go on their reign of terror, and they have their bought and paid for government false prophets who are being paid for by the government to only prophesy what Ahab wants to hear. After all of this, the Lord sent a Jehu. Elisha, the prophet, sends his servant to anoint Jehu. Jehu is anointed to destroy the house of Ahab, Jezebel, Baal, the priests of Baal, and the altars of Baal. That was the anointing. And there's not only a Jehu anointing on President Trump, but it's coming upon the church. The Jehu anointing is coming upon the church to destroy these things, to tear them down, to tear down strongholds, to tear down altars. And you're going to see the Acts church arise in the midst of this. And you see this with Jehu in 2 Kings chapters 9 through 11, 9-11, 9-1-1. Jehu has to do with 2 Kings 9-11, chapters 9 through 11. This is why Donald Trump's own presidency is equal 9-11. It's prophetic. It's biblical. 45th president, 4 plus 5 is 9. 47th president, 4 plus 7 is 11. 9-11, 9-1-1. And Jehu is in 2 Kings chapters 9 through 11. 9-11. This is how I know these high places and altars in this nation are being fought over, are being attempted. They are attempting the kingdom of darkness to stoke the flames of these altars and keep them alive when there is an anointing upon not only the president, but the church to tear these altars down. Now, there is, and I'm trying to think what word this is from, because I forgot to put the date of it, and I want to make sure I get the date right for you. So I'm just going to search it on this one, because I want to read this excerpt to you, but I just want to make sure that I get the right date for you. Hold on. April 4th, 2025. Okay. It's April 4th, 2025. In that word from the Lord, it says, there is an event coming in your nation, says the Lord, where very public and before the nation, that spirit that operates as Jezebel, that operates as Ashtoreth, that spirit in a very public way shall be thrown down from a high place in your nation, and it shall shake the nation as a wave of my glory, this is capital, shall hit the nation at that time, says the Lord. And a revolution and a revelation shall come forth out of the area of Azusa. A powerful move shall once again come that will impact the nation. That was from April 4th, 2025. According to these dark altars that were in the nation, that they're still attempting to keep, the 47th president was supposed to be Kamala Harris, to open a portal and a door to turn America over completely to the Baals if they got their way. And we would have been battling against some of the darkest altars and darkest evil ever erected in this nation, and a heightened spirit of lawlessness above anything we have ever seen. That is what we would have found ourselves in. But praise God, God is merciful when we don't deserve it. He is faithful when we are not. And God was merciful to America. Now, Jehu got anointed because God had ordered at that time the cup of iniquity became full, and God ordered those dark altars powering the house of Ahab and Jezebel to come down along with their entire line. Why? Because altars can be generational. Altars can be kept going through the generations. So the appointed time had come. The cup of iniquity had become full. Those dark altars powering the house of Ahab and Jezebel that had a stronghold over Israel it came down from the court of God that it was time for it to come down. And I'm going to tell you this. That territorial spirit that utilized those altars to give Jezebel and Ahab their power is a vicious enemy of the church, the true body of Christ that is in covenant with God. It is a highly calculating, manipulative, strategic, destructive, logistical spirit. And you add Elijah, Obadiah, and the 7,000 that didn't bow their knee to Baal in the land, that represented the true church. The church that when it came to the precipice at Mount Carmel would rise up, each had a role to play, and that high place, fire came down from heaven and consumed, because Almighty God is a consuming fire. That was the foreshadowing in some ways of Pentecost, which is the time we're in right now. Mount Carmel, the sacrifice at the altar, right? Foreshadowing, there would have to be a great sacrifice, a great death, which was Christ, making a spectacle of the kingdom of darkness, because that's what Elijah did with that sacrifice. And then fire came down from heaven, which foreshadows the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, coming down with fire on Pentecost. That was, in many ways, a foreshadowing on Mount Carmel of what was to come. And when we see what's happening right now, when we see what just happened in D.C., Satan is going to try and accuse you of exactly what he is. Those operating through manipulations and control will try and accuse you of exactly what they are. Satan always tries to deflect. This is why Ahab looked at Elijah and called him the troubler of Israel. Elijah wasn't the troubler of Israel. Ahab and his wicked altars and his Baal worship and his rebellion against God is what brought trouble on Israel. Elijah simply was bringing down the judgment from the court of God and saying, there will be no rain except at my word. Satan will always call you and try to accuse you of what he's doing. Always. The entire media does it. It's called deflection. He attempts to put a false identity on you to bind you to that altar of false identity. This is the revolutionary war we find ourselves in today. It has been fought through the ages, and with each age, the enemy attempts to become more sophisticated in his tactics, arguments. He fine-tunes his weapons. He finds broken, willing vessels that are completely fragmented in order to do the bidding, in order to shed the blood that he wants shed. This is why in the Old Testament, in the land, they would set up different altars in different areas. This is why you hear of altars even in the book of Revelation. This is why you see this today, except the enemy has gotten more tactical about disguising these altars. He's gotten way more tactical about disguising them. And they have different names. Clinics, government buildings, award shows, concerts, political ceremonies, areas of Washington, D.C., areas of other major cities, certain buildings in major cities. They're altars. These are all altars that have been masked and wrapped on the outside with covers of entertainment, innocent ceremonies, clinics that claim to free women from pregnancy, altars to sports teams, altars to saints. Nowhere in Scripture does it authorize you to worship saints or to, there is a great cloud of witnesses. God never authorizes you to worship them. The only in Scripture who we are authorized to pray to is Almighty God and Jesus Christ. That is who we are authorized in Scripture. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us as we do that. That is where we are legally, through Scripture, authorized. If you notice, when they used to make wooden images of things that were in heaven, angels, demons, false idols. God never authorized the worship of those things. They built altars to them, and those altars led Israel into sin. Religious altars keep family lines bound as well. During COVID, hospitals became altars of sacrifice. You may not see it this way because it's a building or the word hospital is on it, or it's an award show, or it's a concert, but what is happening within has very similar components to how an altar is powered. Now, social media even is erected like a digital coliseum, which was meant to draw everyone's focus to what was happening in the middle, which became an altar of sacrifice. Altars today are not just made of wood and stone. Altars today, they power generations within family lines. They power generations of strife. They stifle leadership. They attempt to imprison and chain people to the agreements their ancestors made upon such. They attempt to bind people to an altar of false identity. LGBTQ plus altar. It's an altar to bind people on the altar to a false identity. Altars, high altars with principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world in this nation have attempted to bind the power of this nation at the highest levels to their altars. And we are watching these begin to be torn down. However, the enemy is going to attempt to keep that altar stoked, the flame stoked on that altar, going to attempt to keep that altar in that territory so he can keep a claim to that territory. And this is why this happened in Washington, D.C., between Passover and Pentecost. The enemy wants a sacrifice on that altar. And I believe as well, this is foreshadowing a much larger attack within the area, not only of Israel, but within the area of Washington, D.C. and certain other major cities in the nation. This is the announcement for that. This is the announcement that the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy from the people of God. And he's doing it in areas where he knows he has altars, where he knows he has high-powered, high-level altars that are attempting to fight to stay erected right now. This is, I believe, also an announcement of a much larger scale attack that will attempt to be moved against the Trump administration in D.C. Even the tariffs had to do with bringing down altars. They had to do with bringing down altars in China and other nations that exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. You know how I know this? Because the Chinese stock market crashed near Passover. The last crash of the Chinese stock market was 28 years prior to this one in 1997. 28 years was the exact length of Jehu's reign. This is how I know tariffs have to do with beginning to tear down altars that China has built to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Jehu is anointed to bring down altars, to bring down pagan leaders, to bring down the house of Baal, to bring down the stronghold on that territory. The altars are coming down. The gates are closing on gates. Altars and gates are coming down. For the enemy to get these altars to operate in your life or in a nation, he has to get you to pronounce death over yourself. He has to separate you from the covering of the Lord. He has to get you in your life to come into agreement with what has been spoken on that altar about you, with the altar that may bear your image. He has to move you into an agreement with that altar. Altars have nothing to do with laziness. They have to do with logistics. You know the presence of an altar in someone's life or in a city by the continuing of patterns and occurrences within it. Example, great-grandmother was assaulted. Grandmother was assaulted. Mother was assaulted. Great-grandmother had miscarriages. Grandmother had miscarriages. Mother had miscarriages. You see, the presence of them in leadership of nations by the cyclical occurrences or attacks, that nation or that city or that territory continues to endure. This is way more than just coincidences. These are not coincidences. These are calculated declarations and acts performed upon altars to continue bondage and destruction within a family line, within leadership, within the church, within strategic cities, within nations. These are just some of the things that prophets detect by prophecy and discern by way of the spirit of counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. And they're accused all too often of being witches and wizards because through and by the Holy Spirit, they can detect when these altars are present. They can detect when these attacks are present. They can discern generationally what is happening within a family line. They can see what is at the root of an individual's destruction. They can see the attacks of the enemy coming before they happen. Those that operate in the prophetic are like officers in the court of heaven. We are meant to speak down and speak forth the judgments and rulings handed down from God's high court. However, that is a part of the prophetic office. There are other parts as well are operating in the prophetic. And other parts are teaching, other parts, you know, prophesying. There are different parts to it. But these altars and their existence and their being detected and discerned doesn't necessarily make that person a bad person that is a victim of it. It doesn't make them a bad person. In some way, shape, or form, they have been bound to it and they have to be freed from it. There are people in family lines and leaders who are attempting to be made victims by contracts and altars that were erected and made before their time or unknowingly attached to them through an association that they have unsuccessfully to this point fought against. Altars like to remain hidden. When they get exposed, they are torn down. Satan hides. He conceals secrets. He conceals what is powering his assignments. The kingdom of darkness conceals. The kingdom of light reveals. And in this time, the cover is being ripped off of what the kingdom of darkness has concealed. Galatians 3:13. Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Build an altar of stone and wood where Christ was crucified. That's what they did. They built an altar of stone and wood where Christ was crucified. And the enemy was lured into doing such by his insatiable rage to try to destroy Jesus Christ. He was deceived into believing that killing the physical body of Christ would stop him in his mission. However, instead, when Jesus Christ said, it is finished at Calvary, he paid the debt right there. A transaction occurred, which was one of the greatest reversals of what the enemy erected an altar originally for. The Lord allowed the enemy to be deceived. And Jesus knew it, into walking right into this, thinking he was erecting an altar to give him a great victory. And that altar instead gave Christ the great victory and gave the enemy a defeat that has echoed through the generations. That is echoed through the generations. The enemy wanted Christ crucified as a sacrifice for his kingdom and to stop who was opposing his interests at a high level. However, Christ was crucified to defeat hell, death, and the grave, descend into the underworld, take the keys of from death, make an open show and spectacle of the enemy and the sacrifice he wanted. When we come into a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ, it gives us legal grounds generationally to break and destroy strongholds, to break and destroy generational altars within our family line or through agreements we have made with others who are attached to those altars. If you have not come to Jesus Christ, you have no legal right to tear down an altar. But when you come to Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ, you come to Almighty God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, it gives you the legal right now, because the blood is applied, to tear down that altar. Association can help you unknowingly partake in altars that are upon the lives of those you're associating with. When the realm of the spirit is against you, it will also be against anything or anyone who supports you. Either way. Example, when God was against Jonah because the Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh and pronounce destruction and judgment because it came down from the court of God upon Nineveh that Nineveh was to be destroyed, you see Jonah, who was supposed to be an officer of the court of God, he's supposed to bring down this judgment. He was supposed to speak and release it into the natural, the decree that came down from God's court in the third heaven. The Lord tells Jonah to go and bring this judgment to Nineveh and against Nineveh. Jonah refuses and attempts to run from God. The hand of the Lord was then against Jonah because he was in rebellion at that point, which is as the sin of witchcraft, which is exactly what Nineveh was partaking in. So now Jonah, in a way, is aligned more with Nineveh and their rebellion than the Lord. So the hand of the Lord was against Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, in the process of running away from the Lord, Jonah steps onto a boat. All the individuals who were operating the boat and the passengers on there were not aware in the least that Jonah had rebelled against the Lord and has now involved them in this act. They are now, by association, involved in rebellion. The realm of the spirit was against Jonah in that moment, and Jonah now implicates all these individuals on the boat. He has entered. Jonah chapter 1, verses 3 through 15. But Jonah ran away to Tarshish to escape from the presence of the Lord and his duties as a prophet. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord hurled a great wind toward the sea, and there was a violent tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors were afraid, and each man cried out to his God. And to lighten the ship, they threw the ship's cargo into the sea. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship and had laid down and was sound asleep. It's nice he can sleep so well when he's in such rebellion. It's just nice that he goes down to the bottom of the ship in the middle of all this. And he could just sleep so well. So the captain came up to him and said, how can you stay asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will give a thought to us so we will not perish. Because all the other gods they were calling on and their altars were legally nullified because it was God who was against Jonah. So no other God was allowed to answer in that moment, because God had brought that judgment down. Verse 7, and they said to another, come, let us cast lots so we may learn who is to blame for this disaster. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, now tell us who is to blame for this disaster. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew and I reverently fear and worship the Lord, the God of heaven. He reverently fears and worships God while he's running from him. While he's rebelling and running away from his assignment, he's standing up in the middle of a storm that God sent because of what he did and telling them that he reverently fears and worships the Lord, who made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10, then the men became extremely frightened and said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was running from the presence of the Lord. because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What should we do to you so that the sea will calm for us?" For the sea was becoming more and more violent. Jonah said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that it is because of me that is the great storm is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not because the sea became more violent against them. Because they're trying to fight against the will of God. This image represents what it looks like to fight against the will of God. This image represents the consequences of fighting against the will of God. Verse 14, then they called on the Lord and said, "Please, O Lord, do not let us perish because of taking this man's life, and do not make us accountable for innocent blood." Do not make us accountable for innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as you please. Verse 15, so they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. Then the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice. They built an altar to the Lord to establish that that storm had ceased and it was not coming back. And they made vows right there to the Lord. Now, this is the mirror image of Luke chapter 8. What you see in Jonah is the opposite of Luke 8. In Luke 8, you find Jesus Christ sleeping on a boat in the midst of a violent storm with the other passengers on board who are now implicated because Satan sent that storm to attempt to prevent Jesus Christ from getting to the Gerasenes, because the enemy knew once Jesus Christ placed his foot upon the soil of that area legally in the realm of the spirit and the natural, the court of the Lord was bringing down judgments upon the territorial spirits and altars of that area and freeing one man, the madman of Gadaran, would evangelize the entire city. Jonah 1, Almighty God sends the storm because Jonah rebelled and attempted to escape his presence and circumvent the assignments the Lord had given him, and he implicated everybody on the boat with him. Luke chapter 8, the enemy sends a storm to stop Jesus Christ because he was being obedient to the Lord's assignments in going to the Gerasenes. Jonah, because of him, because of one man, all the other men in the boat were in danger of death because of Jonah's presence in Jonah 1. In Luke chapter 8, all the disciples in the boat with Jesus Christ's lives were being protected because of his presence. It matters who is around you and who is in your boat. It matters who is around you and what you are attached to. It matters. And that storm didn't cease for those men until Jonah was removed from them. Because they will either fight for you or fight against you. Because of what you are learning tonight, everyone around you will be a partaker. Because of what you're learning tonight, everyone around you will be a partaker. When the Lord sends a word upon Jacob, his intention is for it to enlighten all of Israel. And this should enlighten to begin to give you clear vision that you begin to see what is keeping you, your children, your family in bondage. You begin to see what's happening in Washington, D.C., what is happening in the nation, that there are high altars attempting to stay stoked with the flames that are coming from illegal sacrifices and from territories the enemy is attempting to keep under his grip, and targets now that he's putting in a rageful, vengeful way on the people of God, because we're grafted in. We're grafted into the covenant. We have a more excellent covenant through Christ Jesus. Altars can affect individuals. Altars can affect families. Altars can affect cities. Altars can affect a nation. There are many people out there who turn their homes into altars, one way or another. They might be babes in the faith. They might have just become born again, but they've blessed missionaries. They've opened up their home to missionaries. They have attempted to do the work of the Lord. They supported the gospel. And that, in a way, is an altar to the Lord. And you have people also that turn their homes into altars for the kingdom of darkness to begin to draw power from and operate out of that home that will affect an entire neighborhood. Let me give you an example. So on our way to church, there is a house on a corner. And there's a big sign in that house's yard. And it says psychic. Tarot card reading. That is an altar. That is an altar in that territory. And there's lots of dead trees on that property too. You know why? Because nothing grows in that environment. Nothing of substance anyway. And that is an altar. That home and property has been turned into an altar for that area. And every time I pass by it, I pray over that property. And I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, these people renounce the occult. They repent of it. They turn from it. They come to know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, or that is torn down and they got to move out of the area. Every time I pass, that's what I pray. Because it's an altar. People turn their homes into an altar for one God or another, either Almighty God or the kingdom of darkness. And that altar then will be powered by what is drawing power from it. And I will tell you this, it matters what you set up in your home, because your home is an altar for the Lord, or it's an altar for the kingdom of darkness. And that can affect generations to come either way. Because if your home is an altar for the Lord, God will go after your family members generationally. He will go after them and pursue them and find them because you have made your home an altar to him. Within the temple in scripture was an altar. Same thing with homes. Our bodies are considered temples. Well, temples house altars, and it's either going to be an altar for the Lord or an altar powered by darkness. How altars work. The throne of grace where the righteousness of God is seated is the highest altar. There is no altar any other man or entity can establish that can even come close to the throne of grace where God is seated. Wicked altars all have their root powered from one place. What you saw happen in Washington, D.C., these altars all have their root powered in one place, and it's the altar of sin and iniquity. Powers all other dark altars. Hosea chapter 8, verses 11 through 12. For Ephraim has constructed many altars for sin. They are altars intended for sinning, which multiply his guilt. I wrote for him the 10,000 precepts of my law, but they are regarded as a strange thing, which does not concern him. If you look at our nation of the United States of America and all we have been through the past 4 years, let alone decades, if you think that it's all political, think again, because it's not. It's not all political. It's never been all political. There were high-level altars and powers at work within this nation. And interestingly enough, within the White House even, you see righteous altars are being established that are combating the former ones at work. Some may not even realize what is happening, but that's what's happening. However, there is one particular altar within the White House that the Lord is bringing down, and that is the altar of intellectualism. It has been elevated and worshiped, and you cannot use intellectualism to fight something that at the root is a spiritual problem. Has to do with spiritual altars. You cannot fight a spiritual war legally on grounds of intellectualism. It doesn't work. And the walls of the White House are filled with generations of it. And that is changing for a time. There were altars at work in 2020 when we saw what happened when plagues hit the earth. Even though it was man-made, it was still a plague. You see, as the church, we need to start understanding this and having an awareness of this, because the enemy is becoming more sophisticated in his attacks, refining them as we approach the latter events of Revelation. The revelationary war has entered a new operation We're in the same war. We're in a new operation. We face as the church and this nation over the next 4 years against a tactically changing enemy. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments. Those sophisticated arguments are made upon altars too. And every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish every act of disobedience when your own obedience as a church is complete. The definition of a fortress is a fortified place, especially a large permanent military stronghold that often includes a town, for the destruction of military strategic positions. That's what that scripture means. Sophisticated arguments, every proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God has an altar that's been made to it. Sets itself up, establishes itself, sets in opposition to the true knowledge of God. Part of this is altars, sophisticated arguments birthed upon altars, altars that are established strategically to set itself up in an advantageous position to oppose individuals, family lines, leaders within the church, and at the highest levels of the nation. It's the authority of Christ that destroys the yoke of bondage. It's his authority that we have through him that demonic positions are afraid of. And we should be honored that we have the abundance of God's grace. His wisdom, his counsel, his guidance. So week in and week out, we can contend towards the mark of the high calling. It's a high calling for a reason. At greater heights, you can expansively see, and at greater heights, there is much pressure. You have to learn to breathe in a different air. Ascension brings pressure, and you have to be ready to live with bearing the weight of the pressure at greater heights, because the Lord has to take the church deeper for it to now to go higher, because the deception has got to get the hell literally out of God's house. And the fire of the Holy Spirit and the weighty conviction of truth needs to descend upon the church in America in order for the church to fight a new phase of the same war against an enemy that is tactically changing. The church cannot be like Saul's army quaking before Goliath, and that is what has gone on to a degree. And then you have David's brothers who are in the army, but all they're doing is trying to chase away the people who are actually have the conviction anointing of God to destroy those that are coming against the covenant. That is a picture of the church, what has gone on until now. And we need to be equipped, ready, eager, because the devil's time wreaking havoc in the house of God is being chased out by the fire and the roar of the Holy Spirit, and those altars bearing a name or image that are meant to be destructive to the purposes of God are being torn down. This is the time for them to be torn down. There is a righteous cleansing happening in the church. And then you have those who have attempted to do such with the wrong motive. We cannot cry out to the Lord to deliver this nation and not think he wouldn't come for an inspection of his house as well. And this is why we are in this season of excavation, of pruning, of evicting out of your lives and out of God's house what has been keeping you from moving forward into the things the Lord has for you. These strongholds have to come down. These altars have to come down. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we renounce and declare destruction upon all evil altars bearing our name or image in every timeline, age, realm, and dimension. In the name of Jesus Christ, let them be destroyed by the fire of God. Let those altars be destroyed by God's fire. Let the serpents be shaken out of your homes, your businesses, your ministries, this nation, and be consumed by the holy fire of God. This is a time of reckoning. This is a time the enemy is repositioning. This is a time the enemy is attempting in strategic locations to utilize the altars that he has before they're torn down in order to attempt to stifle, to stop, to stumble, to block what the Lord has willed for those he has anointed to do the work in this nation to do. So we have to understand this. And as the church, we need to understand this, because these are at work, and these are at work at high levels. And we need to start engaging at a level that is legally allowable under Almighty God, that is biblically allowable, but we have to engage at a level where we're not dealing with child's play, where we're not dealing with the superficialness, that we are going deep and we are taking down strategic positions, and every lofty argument and thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is what we have to do. And this, what happened in Washington, D.C., is a product of this. An altar that wanted a sacrifice in order to strengthen a position for the enemy for a greater attack that is coming. And when we can recognize it, we can intercede for that altar to be torn down. People think this doesn't go on. People think the kingdom of darkness doesn't do this. People think, oh no, we're in the New Testament. They don't do this. Oh no, they do. People build altars to things all the time. They just call them by a different name. And we have to remember that right now, because it is no accident that happened in DC. And it happened to a young Jewish couple. And it happened by a man by the name of Elias. It's no accident. All of this happened the way it did. And it happened within a window between Passover and Pentecost right now for a reason, because there's a mobilization that's attempting to happen on the kingdom of darkness. And we, as the church, have the power and authority to intercede, to expose it. And that is what we need to do. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to end there on that for a moment because I see the time. I'm going to show you this video quick. So last night, we were coming home near 1 a.m. from the event, and it was pouring out. Eric, who was with us, who helps us, him and Gus were in the front seat, and all of a sudden, he says, "What is that in the middle of the road?" And in the pouring rain were two newborn fawns that were petrified and couldn't get across the road. And their mother was waiting for them across the road. So I yelled to Eric to stop the car, and I jumped out of the car, and I was all dressed up. And I'm in the pouring rain now. And I run over to the fawns, and I scoop one up in each arm like this under my armpits. And now I have a fawn in each arm. And they're calling to their mother, and the mother runs right across from me. So I'll see that she's running across and she's going up the hill. And I carried them from the street to the sidewalk, and they still needed help. So one by one, I picked them up and I put them up the hill, and they started moving towards their mother, who was waiting at the top of the hill, because God will position you perfectly for his purposes to accomplish what he wants accomplished in that moment. And in that moment, the timing had to be impeccable for us to be the ones that drove up on them at this time of night. The timing had to be impeccable. And it was pouring, and we were soaking wet by the end of it, but I didn't care. And so we have the video for you, and we're going to show you just part of it. I didn't know Gus was filming. I found this out later on. But we're going to show you part of what happened.
Hold on, babies. Hold on. All right, come on, Mama. I don't want to
leave. Mama will take care of him.
What?
He's the literal one.
There so. She is. No, she's right up there.
Yeah. Come on, Mama. Get your babies.
Come on, Mama.
She'll get them.
This one looks a little weak.
Well, it's probably just born.
Come on, Mama.
She probably won't come with us standing here.
No, but this one's not walking. Come on, baby. Come on, good, good. Go, go, go. Very good.
There you go, baby.
Okay.
She'll come down and get him.
Okay.
Okay. They were just born, huh?
Yeah.
So that was at 1 a.m. last night after we administered and got done super late. The Lord had us positioned. I was exhausted. It didn't matter. Had us positioned perfectly to run into these two baby fawns and get them back to their mother and rescue them from the middle of the road. We also had the neighbor's cat that decided she liked us and slept in our house every night that we were renting. So little Ruth came over and slept in our house, and we took her in every night. And the neighbors just said, we'll send her back when she's ready. So we had cats, we had fawns, we had all sorts of animals showing up. So we wanted to show you that as well. Also, and praise the God, they did go up the hill. They got back to their mother. So that was the most important part of all of this, is that we praise God. The Lord positioned us because he cares about his creation. And when you are submitted to him, he will position you in the places you are needed at any moment for anything that he deems to be important. So remember that too. Also, we have the Revolutionary War. We're going to put that up. Praise God, this book is getting amazing reviews. It is available everywhere books are sold, on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, Charisma Media. So please, if you can, get a copy, buy a copy for a family member as well. It goes through decades of prophecy within the nation as well. So all glory goes to God for that. Also, our gala is coming up in September. So if you would like to be part of the Ark of Grace Gala, the animals of Ark of Grace are going to be there for a meet and greet. You can basically email us. You can contact us by phone or go to our website for the gala that's coming up in September. Also, we have our app and our newsletter. So our app, we have them in the App Store. So you can download our app as well. So please go to your app store and search Ark of Grace Ministries, and you can download our app. We have our newsletter. If you go to arkofgrace.org, there's two buttons on the front page. There's a donate button, and there's the newsletter button. The newsletter is free. You can sign up for text blast too. We also do push notifications on our app. So we want to be able to keep in touch with you, so you can sign up for that as well. And lastly, Gividerm is having an amazing Memorial Day sale. You get a free clay cleanser when you buy Mother Plumper and Nourish. That is an amazing, amazing combo. So you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount. You can go to arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners. And you can go check out Gividerm's Memorial Day sale and giveaway. So we love those ladies. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is where we're going to end for tonight. I think we're coming back on tomorrow night. We will announce. Thank you for hanging in there tonight. God bless everyone. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalms 123. You see them 34, 35, and 51. Also, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 on faith is incredible. So I encourage you in that as well. Ephesians 1 and 3, those scriptures, I speak those scriptures every day. They're from the Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin as well. They're in the first few pages of that book. And the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. The order of that prayer is what is so important for your prayer life. I suggest you go take a fresh look at it and you incorporate it into your prayer life. So praise the Lord. Thank you everyone for joining us tonight. We love you, and we most likely will see you tomorrow night. God bless everyone. Hello everyone, Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets. They have slippers. They have bathrobes. They even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.